This title this morning is Walking with God. You should have guessed with the special song and everything. Walking with God. A few days ago, there was a national debate on TV. Maybe you watched it. And I'm not going to name names or talk too much about it, but one of the candidates, people were saying that it's time for him to retire. And I'm not saying any names. Again, this is not one of those churches that it's all politics. But people in his own party were saying maybe he should retire. As I was thinking about that, Lately, I myself have been thinking about that myself. If I should retire, from the ministry. I've been dealing with that, and I've been praying, and God told me, no, not yet. even today, and this is no joke, because I'm not in the mood for jokes. But as I turn on the car, you know, there's music in the radio station. And there was the last part of the song that say, hold on just a little bit longer. Everything's going to be okay. Yep. I say, okay, Jesus. I get the point. I get the message. So that's why, and even when I was writing this message weeks ago, I didn't even think that it would come so much in point to what all of us go through. Now, in Ephesians 5, which is our main text today, walking with God. There were two men in the Bible that never died. You know their names. Elijah and Enoch. And they are also two of my grandsons. I have an Elijah and an Enoch. And they like me for some reason. Right? They like me. Now, Enoch was a great man of God. So much so that the Bible tells us specifically, as we read with the brother today, that he walked with God for most of his 365 years of life. I mean, coincidence? 365 years? I'm not going to make a deal of it. Now, what a great testimony. What a great testimony for Enoch. To walk with God. Amen. It doesn't say there if he may perform miracles, if he healed somebody, if he preached, if he went to church, if he teach in Sunday school. It doesn't say anything about that. It just said that he walked with God. In whatever he did, he walked with God. And I wonder this morning, imagine if people would say the same thing about us today. Imagine if they would say the same thing about you and me and about this church. That we walk with God.
Amen.
Well, I got news for you and for me, especially for me. And it is that we can walk with God today. We might never be as good as Enoch, all right? So if you want to be as good as Enoch, I don't know if you can reach that level. But we can try. We can try. And anyways, our example is not even Enoch. Our example is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So we have a long way to go. A long way walking after Christ. Now, is anyone here interested today in learning how to walk with God in this world? Anybody? See, in the next few minutes, we can learn some ways to improve our walk with God. In fact, think about this message as a spiritual therapy. You know, when people go to the hospital, then they got to go to therapy. You know that deal. Well, this is a spiritual therapy for our spiritual feet. Now, I'm sure I will not be able to cover all the ways in which a Christian must walk. There's too many. But I'm bringing at least eight. Here in Ephesians 5, Dr., in quotations, Paul is prescribing eight exercises or steps that we can apply to our life so that we can upgrade and advance in our walk with Christ. So let's count the steps. See, right now people have, maybe somebody here in church, I don't know, I haven't seen, they have these smart watches and you can count the steps. You know what I'm talking about? And people brag all the time. Oh, today I walk 70,000 steps, you know. And that's good, you know. Exercise is good. But Christian exercise, spiritual exercise, is even better. So I don't know if you like to walk. I like to walk around my property. I cannot walk on the street anymore because there's a dog from hell that is always attacking me. You know, I even bought a sonar thing. You know, nothing works. It just comes at me. So I just walk like, you know, crazy guy around my property. And my wife, which is, she's just as crazy as me sometimes, she joins me, right? You know, got to pray for her. Pray for her. Now, the first step that we see, the first step that we see to follow Christ is to follow God's pattern. Follow the pattern. All right? Have you ever used type in a Word document? There's something there, right, that is called copy and paste, right? What a great invention, right? When I discovered that, I never typed in a typewriter, you know, putting the ribbon in the paper. It was always a mess. But when I discovered the computer that you can delete, and man, that was made for me, for people like me. And you know what? The gospel was made for people like you and for me. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We don't have to come up with new things. We just have to copy and paste. Copy Christ and paste it to our hearts and follow Jesus Christ, His pattern. Follow His pattern. It says in verse 1, it says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. You see, on TV you always see products being announced. By this is new and what? And improved. Right? New and improved. All natural. Organic. This and that. New and improved. Well, the gospel is not new, and the gospel will never be improved. And if you or I or anybody tries to improve on it, then you're becoming a blasphemer, a heretic. Because you cannot add or subtract anything from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? You just have to copy and paste. Follow the pattern. You know? It's like, remember in years ago in the 80s, I think it was, when they came up with chess for dummies and mechanics for dummies, right? Well, the Bible for dummies. Copy and paste. We don't have to come up with a new thing. Copy Christ and follow. I don't know if you ever read this book, It was written many, many years ago. It's called In His Steps. In His Steps. And they have made movies about it. It's the line, WWJD. What would Jesus do in any situation? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? How would Jesus act in a given situation? And to tell you the truth, it is a very, very valid question. The thing about the book and the movies is that they miss the point by putting all the emphasis on what? On the social issues, on the social gospel. All right? Feeding the poor, building houses and hospitals, building universities, Christian universities that now have become liberal universities in the United States. Princeton, Harvard, and all those universities were built by Christians. All right? Try to preach Christ in Princeton now, in Columbia, in Harvard. They will kick you out faster than a speeding bullet. All right? But if you take aside the gospel component, is a good question to ask ourselves. You know, because we need to imitate Christ, follow the pattern, and do what Jesus did. Secondly, we need to walk with passion. With passion. All right? Passion is love. The first love that in the book of Revelation chapter 2, Jesus confronted the church of Ephesus. And that was a great church. You ever wanted to see a great church? Ephesus was a great church. They preached the gospel. And they probably had all kinds of ministries. And they were strong in the Lord. Strong men and women in Christ. Strong. Solid Christians. But Jesus says, I only have one thing against you. Is that you have forgotten your first love. You're just going through the motions now. And I ask myself, and maybe you should ask yourself the same question. If we sometimes go through the motions in our Christian life, if we just come to church, go home. Come to church, go home. Come to church, go home. Where is the passion? Where is the desire and the love for Christ? Sometimes we need to ask ourselves as we're driving to church, why are we coming to church at all? Why? What is the purpose? So other people can see me? So I can look good, or so we can really worship God with passion, with love, as Christ loved us. That's point A. See, he gave us the example. Because he says in verse 2, and walk, you see that word? Walk, walk, walk in love. Meaning, walk is how we live. Like in the Old Testament, when in the book of Psalms it says, in your goings out and in your coming back in. That means as you live your life, walking with God. You go to the market, you walk with God. You go to church, you walk with God. You go to your house, you walk with God. Don't think that when you go home, okay, I did my church thing. Put your short, forget about God. No, you walk with God in your home. Don't be in the world and darkness in your house. You got to be light in your home first and foremost. Walk with Jesus. It says walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. See, that's the example. And he says, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. And when you and I walk together in love, the same thing, the same smell is produced. The same smell of the cross, of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, that it was a sweet smelling aroma to the Lord. The same thing. So when God sees us in the church, He wants to see us and hear us, but also smell. Even the smell. How do we smell as a Christian? Do we stink? I mean, telling you, let me not even say. We need to be a good, sweet smelling aroma, a pleasing sacrifice as we walk in love. Point B, as we love God and one another. Now, have you ever heard or seen musicals on TV or movies? Do you like musicals? I don't know. I don't know. Broadway musicals or the music, the movies that they say a couple of words and then they start singing for half an hour. Well, that comes to my mind every time I read this verse. Look what it says. And speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Speaking to one another in this way, with praises to the Lord, with God's word. You know, the best way you can speak to me and the best way I can speak to you is this way, with psalms, which is God's word, with hymns and spiritual songs. And it says, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know what the church is? You know, the church is a lot of things, right? The church is a body. The church is a family, right? The church is a temple. The church is a flock. But you know what else the church is? It came to my mind as I was practicing. It's good to practice, right? New things come up. You know it because you practice, right? The church is also a choir. A choir that sings praises to the Lord. Amen. And that needs to walk in harmony and unity. When you have a choir, everybody has to sing what? The same, step, the same level, right? If you sing here and somebody sings over here, you know what? There's no harmony. It says making melody in your heart. So we need to walk with after the pattern, with passion for God, for one another, making melody, making sweet harmony. Harmony. Harmony means unity, fellowship with one another. All right? And sometimes to make harmony, think about this. In a choir, right? There are people that sing louder and people sing lower. You need to adapt to one another. If you sing higher, you need to bring it down, right? And if you sing low, you need to go up to this level. So everything sounds in unison. So we need to walk in that passion and unity. Number three, we need to walk in purity. In purity. The first thing that we need to do is reject immorality. Just reject it. It has no place in our lives anymore. All of us have dealt. All of us. All right? There's no perfect person here. All of us have dealt with immorality at one point or another in our lives. But the Bible says in several places, and so were you. So were you. You know, immoral sinners and all that kind of stuff. So were you. But now you are in Christ. Now you are a new creature in the Lord. It says in verse 3 and verse 11, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you. Okay? Not even name, not even talk about it. All right? Sometimes you hear people talking about, did you see what that pastor did in that church? He ran away with the sin. And then, you know, they talk and all that gossip to bring the church down. No, you know what you need to do? Pray for that pastor. Amen. Pray for that brother. Pray for that sister. Yes. Right? Amen. That's what you need to do. That's what I need to do. Instead of, you know, gossiping or criticizing, like if we were perfect in any way. It says, do not even name it among you, as it is what? Fitting. Mark that down in your Bible. Fitting. Right? For the saints. See, this week, oh man, this week, we've been working in the house, a lot of things. And then when things were going the best, right? I was tightening my toilet. And then there was an explosion. Poof! I broke the tank. Oh, the toilet. And then, right. So, you know, instead of going forward, I went back a little bit. But you know what? I went to the store. They didn't have the tank by itself. So I had to buy the whole thing. The whole toilet. I never stole a toilet in my life. So went to YouTube and all that kinds of stuff to learn stuff. Right? When you are a homeowner, you got to learn stuff. Right? But then when I'm trying to connect the ball, I guess, the lower body, there was something that was missing to hold it. It wasn't there, you know. So at that point, I didn't want to go back and buy another toilet. So I started looking to see what fit. I destroyed another toilet that was broken and took out until I found something by the grace of God. And I made it work. Well, nothing will fit until I find the thing that was specifically for that. Speaking of the Christian life, when you and I try to sin and you see that it doesn't work out and it doesn't produce the results that you were hoping for, it's simply because it is not fitting for you anymore. It just doesn't fit. It doesn't work. We have a new nature. We have been called to follow Christ. Look what it says in verse 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So reject immorality. Number two, or point B, restrain your tongue. Restrain your tongue. In other words, hush up. I wanted to say the other word, but they told me it was too much. So hush up. Right? Be quiet. Close your mouth. Right? And if you don't believe me, read James 3. Write it down. James 3. He gives you a good explanation about the tongue. The tongue can destroy you. What you say can destroy you, can destroy your family, can destroy a church, can destroy a nation. What things that people speak. They say that sticks and stones hurt my bone, you know what I mean. But words will never hurt me. Well, words hurt. and they can destroy. So hush up. Restrain your tongue. Look what it says in verses 4 and 12. It says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not, again, fitting. Doesn't fit. It's not who you are anymore. Filthiness. Jeez, she even agrees. Filthiness is saying bad words. And then foolish talking is just talking without any purpose, right? And then jesting is joking, like joking around and then saying bad things. People say, oh, you know, I was joking. It says that it is that we should not even do those things. In verse 12, it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. We need to reject the morality. We need to restrain our tongue. And if we had to speak, you know, every time that you say something, you cannot take it back. You know, what you said it, you said it. Now you can apologize. You can ask for forgiveness. But when you say something like that, it's like cutting a pillow filled with, you know, the feathers inside and going like this. You will never be able to retrieve all the feathers and put them back. So it's better to hush up and only speak, right? If you have to. And speak God's word, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs for the glory of God. You know, in Spanish they say, en boca cerrada no entran moscas, which means in closed mouth, flies cannot get in. So, I mean, and there's another saying in Spanish, el pescado muere por la boca. The fish dies when it opens its mouth. So, you know, if it would pass by and say, oh, yeah, no. But they open the mouth and they die. Right? A fourth step that we need to walk is with profound gratitude. We need to be thankful. We need to be thankful. And whenever we go through trials, and whenever we go through attacks in our lives, temptations and tribulations, what is the first thing to go out the door? Gratitude. Thankfulness. It's the first thing. We get angry. We get angry. We ask why. We need to walk with profound gratitude, even if it hurts. Like Job said, right? God gives, God takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. It says in verse 4 and 20, but rather giving thanks, instead of filthiness and foolish talking and joking all the time, just give thanks to the Lord. In verse 20 says, giving thanks when always, for all things, to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, even giving thanks, because you see, even in the case of that toilet that broke, I think that it was already broken. That was the one that flooded all my house. And God allowed it for me to break it without intention, of course, so that I can remove it completely and then put a new good one that it will last maybe a few years. But that was a cancer. But the process was hard. But instead of arguing and saying why and why, say, just find even an excuse, a reason to be thankful like I did. Because if not, I wouldn't be able to cope. And say, this is what happened. This was broken and God wanted me to fix it. And that's what we need to do. Look for ways. Look for ways. Praise God. That's what it says in Philippians 4. Think about the things that are good, that are virtuous, right? And if there's anything good in it, you know, look, try to look for the good, for the silver lining, as people say, to give thanks to God. The fifth step is that we need to walk in illuminated perception. Amen. Perception. What is that word perception? Means to be able to perceive, to see, to discern, right? To be perceptive. And it says that the Bible tells us that we are the light of the world. The light of the world. In verse 8, the Bible tells us, for you were once, what? Darkness. I said it, you see? We used to be that. We were darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. In the Lord. As long as we remain in the Lord, we will reflect His life and His light. And He says, walk. There's that word again. Walk in love and walk as children of light. We are not children of the darkness. We are the children of light. And we need to reflect the light of God. And we find, point B, revelation in God's light. We find revelation in God's light. When you come to the church and you study God's word in your Sunday school, and when you read it at home, and when you study in the sermon, and when you open it and you read it and you study on your own, God is giving you revelation and light. In Psalm 119, verse 105, the Bible says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. See? You want to have discernment in this dark world. In verse 13, it says that all things are exposed, are made manifest by the light. And where do we find the light? In God, in the Word of God. For whatever makes manifest is light. In third place, or C, we see that we are awakened and guided by the light. It says in verse 14, therefore awake. That is one of the worst feelings, right? It happened to me this morning. You know, especially if you have a room cover up, and it's very dark, and somebody goes like in the bright light, right? Huh? You want to fight with somebody when that happens. Why? Right? It's the worst thing. But you know what? That's what the gospel has done to us. It's shocking. It flooded our life with light so that we can see darkness that was inside of us, so that we can be awakened. It says, awake you who sleep. See, my job here as a pastor is not to like bring a little flashlight and just point little things. No, I wish I had a floodlight, you know, like the ones they use in the Hollywood movies. Boom! Right? To flood this with the light of the gospel, so that we can see who He is and who we are and what He wants us to do and what we need to be in this life. We need the light to awake. What were the disciples doing when Jesus needed Him most? Right? What is the church doing today, most of the church, taking a nap, and this world is perishing. Awake, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.
Amen.
In sixth place, or the sixth step, is to walk with prudence. With prudence. I was, you know, having a hard time coming with words starting with P by this point already. With prudence. Which means wisdom. Wisdom, prudence. A prudent man is somebody that watches where they go. We need to have wisdom to discern the truth from the lie. We need wisdom to discern, right? And if you're a child of God, you know the truth, right? Because the truth has set you free. And in John 10, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me. You know when somebody's telling you the truth, and when somebody's telling you a joke, and when somebody's telling you something false. Now, preachers make mistakes, but you know what I'm talking about. A mistake is not telling something untruth. It's a mistake. But when somebody preaches something that is false, that is not a mistake. That is a lie. And it says, let no one deceive you with empty words. Deceive, that's what happened in the Garden of Eden, right? The woman was deceived. The man was not deceived. The man was seduced. You see? But the woman was deceived. And it says, let no one deceive you with empty words. Now it seems like everybody now has a show. Have you seen it? A TV talk show? Almost everybody has a talk show. Or a blog on the internet. And what do? Do they talk, most of them, about something that is good for us? Or is what? Empty words. Empty words. It's just to fill up a time slot. But it's empty. There was somebody, I remember, in Miami. Radio Mambi. All right, it's a radio station in Miami. And that guy, he would speak against communism and Fidel Castro, and he would speak for an hour. Big words, eloquence, beautiful stuff. But it, without fail, at the end of each time, I would ask Maida or anybody that was with me, what did he say? What did he say? It was just words floating in the air with no order, with no rhyme or rhythm. Empty words. He says, because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. See, the truth is good and is inviting. Temptation is a lie. It's a trick. But the truth is always inviting. It's always open. It's always clear. When you tell the truth, you don't have to worry about anything else. And when you tell a lie, then you have to think of all the lies to keep, you know. And remember that you see this lie to cover with this one and this one and this one and this one. But if you tell the truth, you're okay. Even if it's hard. Even if it's hard. So we need wisdom to walk with caution. Walk with caution. Would you agree with me that we need to be cautious in this world and age? Yes.
Amen.
Physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, you need to be cautious. Right? He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. I love that word. I love the origin of words, the etymology of the words. Circum is actually two words. Circum, it means a circle or circumference or round. And spectly is from spectator, spectacle, to see. So basically what he say, when you walk through this life, walk cautiously, with caution, looking all around you. Jesus even said, watch and pray. And even Peter said, watch out, because there's a lion going around you, trying to devour you and destroy you. So you need to walk circumspectly. And then we need wisdom to walk with godly purpose. I ask you today, I'm not being funny or anything, but I ask you today, how many more years do you think you have of life? Can anybody tell me? 5 more years? 10? 5 seconds? I mean, we can be here today and gone tomorrow. We don't know. So we need to walk with godly purpose. He says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeem the time. In other words, use up your time for God's glory. It's like, you know, when we make lemonade at home, right? Myra goes, but you know, there's so much more. Then she asks, you know, me. And then I go and I squeeze that lemon until there is, you know, you see the, I don't know, inside of the lemon, whatever that is. You see them screaming, say, let me go already. There's nothing else here. Well, that's what we need to do with every single day. We need to be productive with every day. Redeem the time. Spend time with God. Spend time in the Word. Spend time, you know, doing something for God, for your family, and doing great things in the Lord. 2 more points, and I'm done. We need to walk for the pleasure of God, for the pleasure or the will of God. So we need to watch where and how we walk. Watch where and how we walk. That is point A. It says, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. You know, they say that when you cross the street, you need to look to the right and to the left and to the right. I don't know how many times. Now, some people, you know, they cross the street faster. But some people, like all the people, I'm not going to say names, okay? They just take a long time to cross the street. I mean, the car is like 3 miles away. And, you know, they had to wait for, come on, I could go back and come, you know, many times. But we need to be careful and find out what is acceptable to the Lord. See, even Jesus, before he died on the cross, he said, Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done. And like I said at the beginning of the message, I've been contemplating retirement, but it's not acceptable to the Lord. Now, one day I'm going to have to retire. I mean, but it's not now. It's not acceptable. At least that's not what I sense from the Lord. It's not acceptable. It's not my will. It's God's will. We got to do what He wants us to do. And sometimes it hurts, and sometimes it's hard, and sometimes it's almost unbearable. But you got to serve God. You got to serve the Lord. Amen. And you got to follow His steps and direction. Yeah. It says in verse 17, therefore, do not be unwise but understand what the will of the Lord is. We are put in this life for the purpose of God and for His pleasure. Can I repeat it again? We are put in this life as a Christian for His purpose and for His pleasure. So that whatever we do is His will and it brings pleasure to the Lord. And I know there's most of you here, you do want to do things for people to bring pleasure to those people. That's why you give gifts. That's why you wash the dishes at home. That's why you do different things. Because you want to, bring pleasure to other people. Well, the number one that we need to bring pleasure to is our Lord and Savior, Amen. Jesus Christ. Finally, point eight. We need to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, these are different steps. I didn't put it in order. If I would have put it in order, then this should have been the first one, right? But it's not in order. It's all of them different steps. We need to walk at the same time in all these steps. In love and passion for His pleasure, His pattern, and in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because we cannot do it on our own. It says in verse 9 that we need to be fruitful in the Spirit. Fruitful in the Spirit. You and I, you need to produce fruit. Remember that fig tree? And Jesus passed by and said, hey, if I don't see, right? And the tree didn't produce fruit, what happened to the tree? The next day, dry up. We are put in this life, not for you, for me, for your purpose, but to give fruit to the Lord. It says the fruit of the Spirit is goodness, righteousness, and truth. We need to walk in fruit. We need to be fruitful. You can also read and out there, John 15, where it says, abide in me, and I in you, and you will produce fruit, much fruit, abundant fruit in your life and from your life.
Amen.
It says in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now this is the kind of stuff that needs to come out of us, you know? Like branches, come out. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering, patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Right? There's no law in the Bible that says, oh, if you love your brother, you're going to be punished. It's no law, right? If you do all these things, you're walking in the fruit of the Spirit. But also we need to walk not only in the fruit of the Spirit, but we need to walk filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
And it says, do not be drunk with wine. And I said before, wine here doesn't, talking about Merlot, or Pinot Grigio, or red wine, or any type of wine. Or, you know, because some people say, well, it doesn't say whiskey, or beer, or tequila, you know, all that stuff that people drink. Vodka. It's not. So, what it says is a matter of principle. It says, do not be drunk with wine. Do not be drunk with the of this world, because this world intoxicates. If it's not the wine of the Holy Spirit, it will intoxicate. It's toxic for you. It could be wine, it could be drugs, it could be pornography, it could be immorality, it could be bad relationships with people in your life, it could be all kinds of stuff that are toxic. And it says, do not be drunk. It's not saying there that you cannot drink a cup of wine, right? One day, if you have it, one cup with a meal, it does. You can drink it. You can drink it, but it doesn't say. It says, do not be drunk with it. In other words, do not let it overpower you. Do not let it control you, because when you are drunk, you are not in control. The wine, the toxic element, is in control. The immorality, the hatred, the judgmental attitude is in control. And you are not. And then he says, do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation. Have you ever made lemonade or sweet tea? Right? Good stuff, right? Well, not so good. That sweet tea. I don't drink sweet tea anymore. I saw what they put, like gallons of, you know, sugar. I said, no more. But you know, the point is this. What happens to the sugar when you pour it into a lemonade? It what? It dissipates, right? It is diluted. It disappears, right? Now, when we drink the wine of this world, we will disappear in a bad way. But it says, but be filled with the Spirit. When we are filled with the Spirit, we're also going to disappear. But in a good way. You see? Like it says in Galatians 2:20, it says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, because I am crucified with Christ. And the life that I live right now is not me, but it's the life of the Son of God that gave his life for me. All right? We all are going to disappear. The thing is, in which way? With the wine of the world or with the new wine, the Holy Spirit? You see? You see? And that is the way that we need to be filled. Because you cannot be filled in yourself and be filled with the Holy Spirit at the same time. You can't. You say, people can't be filled with the Holy Spirit. I tell you, very easy. Empty yourself. You empty yourself, and then you fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. You see, this past week, it hurt me. I put, you know, the Supreme gas, right? Not the unleaded regular. I put the Supreme gas. Somebody told me, from time to time, it's good to put in your car. It will clean the engines and everything inside. So I put it, but it had to empty. So now we have the good stuff. So we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So let me finish by saying, in conclusion, walking with God is a lifelong endeavor. Or better yet, an eternal adventure. And those who walk with God in this earthly life will continue to walk with God for all eternity. Walking with God means abiding in Him. Living for Him, obeying Him, serving Him, loving Him, and doing and saying and even thinking all the things that He wants us to do in His name and for His glory. So let us today, as we close, walk with passion, with purity, with prudence, with perceptions, and with profound gratitude. And then, we can do it according to God's banner and for His pleasure and in the power of His life. And we will be like Enoch one day. The people will say to us or about us, that person, he or she, they walk with God.
Amen.
The rest, it doesn't matter how much money you have, how many things you did. The thing at the end is, how much did you walk with God? How many steps? Huh? Going back to the little thing, how many steps did you walk with God? Heavenly Father,
yes.
I just want to thank you
for
this time.
Yes.
I want to thank you for this church. I want to thank you for all your blessings.
Yes.
And I want to thank you for the privilege we have to walk with you.
Yes.
Help us to do so every single day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.